Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible study in the book of 1 Samuel. Tonight will be study number 101, and we'll begin by reading 1 Samuel 6, verse 19 through verse 21. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh, because they had looked into the ark of Jehovah. Even he smote of the people 50,310 men. And the people lamented, because Jehovah had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, Who is able to stand before this holy Jehovah God? And to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, The Philistines have brought again the ark of Jehovah. Come ye down and fetch it up to you. Now we, in our last study, were looking at this historical occurrence in the town of Beth Shemesh, and we saw how wicked it was for the inhabitants of this place to open up the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Ark of God. It was unfathomable. It had never been done in the history of Israel, that someone dared to look inside at the ark and to view its contents. No one had ever dared even come near doing that kind of a thing. Even the Philistines, as the ark was in their land, taken captive for 7 months, did not open up the ark and look inside. It is very revealing of the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, that this happened, that the men of Beth Shemesh dared to do this. It shows us that the reason for God's judgment upon them when he allowed the Philistines to win the victory over his people Israel, and he allowed them to take the ark captive, and that was all due to their disobedience and rebelliousness towards his commandments. That nature, that characteristic of a rebellious people, was still continuing now at the end of the seven-month period, which typifies the end of the Great Tribulation. And as we said before, what's taken place here with these men of Beth Shemesh looking into the ark at the end of the 7 months is identifying with the end of the actual Great Tribulation after 8,400 days, which did take place on May 21 of 2011. And even the number of men of Beth Shemesh that the Lord smote, 50,070. We can't take that number by itself, but when we put it together with the number of Israelites smitten in the initial battle and the following battle when the ark was lost, it totals 84,070 about. And so we can say about 84,000. And that number points us to May 21, which was the 8,400th day, when the judgment on the church became complete. And it was the day of transition from judging the churches to judging all the earth, to judging the inhabitants of the world. So we see these things are in place. But there's something else we can't help but notice. When the men of Beth Shemesh open up the ark, and that is the reason why they died, God said that he smote them because they had looked into the ark. And again, this should not have been. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll read verses 24 through 26. It says in Hebrews 9:24, For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. Now notice that even though it says that he should not offer himself often, and then the comparison is made to the high priest, we have to understand that often, in the sense that Jesus offered up himself once for the payment of sin before the foundation of the world, and the high priest offered up himself once a year. It was always only once a year. One time a year, and only one man, the high priest of Israel, was permitted to enter into the Holy of Holies. And again, he would go in with incense. It would cause the Holy of Holies to be clouded with the incense, so he could not see very well, and he would approach with the blood of the sacrificial animal to sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. That is the only occasion that God permitted for someone to even approach unto the holy ark of God. Now, the men of Beth Shemesh, incredibly, as we read in 1 Samuel 6, not only approached the ark, but opened up the ark. They lifted the lid to the ark, to the ark of God. Well, what did they see? We should ask that question. What was inside the ark of the covenant? What were the contents? When the men of Beth Shemesh, and you know, of course, 50,000 of them didn't lift the ark. It was probably the idea of a handful, maybe even one man. And normally bad ideas start with one person, and perhaps a handful of them who had some sort of persuasive ability convinced some of the elders of Israel or the leaders of that town to open the ark. But we just can't imagine what their reasoning would be. But here they have an opportunity to see with their eyes what they have always heard about, because certainly the historical record of Israel had been handed down through the generations. They heard of the incredible miracles of crossing the Red Sea. They heard the account of Moses going up into the mount and receiving the law of God, that God himself wrote with his own finger on two tables of stone. They heard about Aaron's rod that budded and so on. And now they had an opportunity to view the contents of the ark, and the ark would have taken on a sort of mystical sense to many of the Israelites, especially if these people were not true children of God. If they were unsaved individuals with carnal minds, then they would have been fascinated by the physical element of the Ark of God itself. And so here was their opportunity. It was in their town, in the field of Joshua, and it was set upon the great stone of Abel, and they had an opportunity to look inside, and they took it. And after all, the Philistines had taken the ark and kept it in their land for 7 months, and they were heathen Philistines, enemies of Israel and enemies of God. And actually, we're not sure what the Israelites knew of what was taking place in the land of the Philistines. We don't know if the people of Israel were aware of the plagues that had smitten them. I would think that the men of Beth Shemesh did not know of this, because they would have probably been much more careful in their approach to the ark and with this idea about opening the ark if they had been aware of the plagues that were striking down untold numbers of Philistines in city after city because they dared to transgress and take the ark to themselves. So more than likely, the men of Beth Shemesh weren't aware of those plagues, but they were aware that the Philistines had captured the ark of God, and maybe it's possible, maybe the ark lost some of its luster because of this, because it had been captured and taken forcibly by the Philistines. Maybe the ark wasn't such a holy thing after all. Maybe it wasn't the all-powerful God that Israel associated it with, if the Philistines could capture it. So if they had it for 7 months, well, now it's in our possession, and we can do with it what we want to do with it. Let's take a look. Let's look inside. And they did. And, of course, the plague began, more than likely, another plague that struck the people, and they began to die by the thousands. But again, when they first lifted up the ark, what did they see? Well, let's go to earlier in the book of Hebrews. We read verses 24, 25. Let's go to the beginning of the chapter in verse 1. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people, the Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. And it goes on to say, which was a figure for the time then present. So the tabernacle, we don't have to speculate, we know it was a figure, it was a type, a picture. It taught spiritual truths. And God here says it very plainly, when the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies, carrying the blood of the sacrificial animal, well, this was the Holy Ghost, thus signifying, or this signifying the Holy Ghost. And what does that mean? Well, it means that the high priest was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the sacrificial animal typified the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went into the holy place and approached the ark and sprinkled the blood upon the ark of the covenant. And it signified, it showed, this is the way of salvation through the blood of Christ alone. No one else, no man other than the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies, and you better carry the blood if you do so. And so that shows us God's salvation plan and how we are to be saved through the work of Christ and Christ alone by the grace of God, by the faith of Jesus. This is the way of salvation. That's what this typified. But in the ark, verse 4 told us, inside it described the contents. First of all, the ark was overlaid with gold. It would have been a beautiful thing to look at. It would have given the appearance of a great treasure chest. And even the outside of it was full of treasure. It had gold covering it. And then inside was a golden pot that had manna, the manna that fell in the wilderness when Israel was being fed by God as he rained down the bread from heaven. They took some and they laid it up in the Ark of the Covenant in this golden pot. And then Aaron's rod was there that budded, and the tables of the covenant, the two tables of stone in which God wrote the Ten Commandments. They were the contents of the ark. And okay, so we can see this. These men gathered around this ark, overlaid with gold, shiny gold, and they lift the lid. But let's think about that lid. Let's go back to the book of Exodus and read some of the information God gives us concerning the lid that covered the ark. In Exodus 37 and verse 1, it says, "And Bezalel made the ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half was the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth of it, and 1.5 cubits the height of it." So the length of the ark was 2.5 cubits. And then the breadth or the width would have been 1.5 cubits, and the height 1.5 cubits. So you can picture this ark laid out, and that's the size of it. Well, then down in verse 6, Bezalel, the same man, and he made the mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. The mercy seat was made, and it was the same size, the same dimension, 2.5 cubits the length. So it was the length of the ark, and 1.5 cubits the breadth, or how wide it was. It was the same width as the Ark of the Covenant. And that helps us to understand that the mercy seat, which covered the ark, it had to, because the high priest went in and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat, and the mercy seat was over the ark, that this mercy seat acted as the lid. It was the cover over the ark of God. And therefore, in order to open up the ark, you would have to lift the mercy seat. They would have to lift up this mercy seat of pure gold, the 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide, and lift it up from the ark. And you can imagine their wonderment and expectation, their excitement. You know, a lot of times sin is very exciting. We know we're doing something we shouldn't be doing. We know we're doing wrong, but we get an idea in our mind, and we play with it a little bit, and especially if we get others interested in the same idea, we get very excited about it as we begin to carry it out. And we have some sort of thought in our minds that this is going to be something great. And of course, it never is. It could be exciting, yes, and we have all sorts of ideas associated, expectations involved, but it always ends up bad. It always ends up in misery. And so, too, whoever hatched this idea of opening up the Ark of God, well, we know how it ends, with the deaths of 50,070 individuals. 50,070 men die as a result of this sin. They open the Ark, they lift the mercy seat, and they are now able to look inside. Did the plague begin immediately? Well, God doesn't give us all that information. He just, let's read it again. It's just matter-of-fact statement by God. And he smote the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked, that's past tense, into the Ark of Jehovah. Even he smote of the people 50,010. Perhaps they had an opportunity to satisfy their curiosity for a short period of time. Maybe even they manhandled the contents. It could be that they picked up these objects and passed them around to however many of them were there. And what would they have actually have handled? Well, they would have handled a rod that budded. They would have handled some tables of stone. They would have handled a golden pot with some unusual-looking bread, the manna within. And these things of themselves are nothing. They're just things that God used. Probably typical stone, a normal kind of a rod. Of course, the manna from heaven is an exceptional thing. It was a miraculous thing that God rained down, but of itself, when you look at it, it would look like any other sort. Well, it would just be like any other type of substance that was able to maintain life. There's always various kinds of bread, and manna was a different kind of a bread. Nothing great in and of themselves. Nothing tremendous. They're very plain, really, these holy objects, these things that God had used in Israel's history. Without doubt, there would have been a sense, probably, of dissatisfaction, of being let down, that there wasn't something greater. The Ten Commandments, yes, we can read them. They're on these tables of stone. But is that it? I can hold this stone and there's no light source shining forth from them. There's no holy glow that is reflecting upon them. It's just the table of stone. And for this transgression, they died. And many others died. You know, when a plague starts, it just doesn't only impact those that were involved immediately or themselves in a transgression. No, the plague goes amongst the people, and God wrought this plague and smote over 50,000 men because of it. Well, in our next study, we're going to look a little bit more at the covering of the ark, the mercy seat. It's very significant, their action in what these men did, and its relationship to the timing of when they did it at the end of the 7 months. We're going to see once again that God is giving us another proof concerning the end of salvation.